One day, walking home from school, a young Russian boy, and he looks like he's maybe 10 years old or so, came upon a drainage ditch, which is maybe 10 inches wide. And in the drainage ditch, there was a sheep trapped. And he went home and got his mom, and he came back, and he takes his belt off and ties it around one leg of the sheep, begins to pull it up, and mom has her cell phone out and is recording the whole thing. That's why I have that video. And the little boy struggles. He pulls. He's gentle, holding on to the right back leg of the sheep. Finally gets him out. The sheep jumps across the ditch, takes 3 or 4 hops, and jumps back into the ditch. And I think of the times in my life when I was like that sheep, trapped in disobedience. I prayed for God to free me, and it wasn't but 2 or 3 hops or 4 hops later that I'm back in trouble again. And after watching that video, that lamb, that sheep, a number of times, I wonder if the sheep actually knew how to avoid getting back into trouble, because he hops across 3 or 4 hops and right back. And it's not like he was going to hop over and missed it. It's just boom, right back in the ditch. And I could see myself in that sheep. I could see myself in that lamb. And I could see myself in the times when I prayed for God to help me. But over time, I slowly slid back into my old habits, back into patterns of unhealthy behavior. And I ended up in shocking places, separated from God and trapped once again. And as I watched that video, I thought of a time, 20, 30 years ago, I don't remember exactly, when I prayed, "Dear God, if you'll get me out of this mess I'm in right now, I'll never do this again." And it wasn't 30 seconds till I said, "Lord, you know I was lying. You know I didn't mean that. I take it back so I don't have more trouble than I did before." And here goes that sheep hopping down the side and then straight back into the ditch. Well, in chapter 10 of the Gospel of John, Jesus is speaking. The time is the Feast of Dedication. It's known as the Feast of Lights or Hanukkah. And the Jews are listening to him. They've asked him, "If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." And he said, "I've told you, but you haven't believed me. I performed works that you've seen, but you haven't believed the works any more than you've listened to the words I've spoken and believed the words I've told you. And the reason you don't hear me is you're not my sheep, because my sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Listen to these words from John chapter 10, beginning at verse number 1. Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, John says, "But they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly, more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus is talking in terms that anybody in his day could understand, because they all understood sheep. And there were two ways, if you had a flock of sheep, that you would put them up at night. One was, if you were close to town, there would be a barricade, there would be a protection area where somebody had prepared it. And you would rent space that night, whatever the price might be. You'd take your sheep, you'd put them in there with everybody else's. The barricade would be closed and the sheep would be protected. There'd be no way robbers could get in. There'd be no way wolves could get in. And they were safe. But so many times, the shepherd and the sheep were out on the hillside somewhere, not close to town, not close to that public shelter. And so the shepherd would have to build a barricade. It'd have to be high enough that the sheep couldn't jump over it. And typically where you would expect there to be a door, there would be a gap. And you think, well, that's not the smartest thing, but the shepherd would lay down across that gap. So if the sheep were to try to get out, they'd have to go over him. If a robber was to try to get in, they'd have to go over his body. And they understood that. And Jesus said, I am the door. My sheep hear me, my sheep follow me, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Not anything, not anybody will be able to remove them from my hand or from my Father's hand. Now the next morning, the shepherd comes over, and he's there in the town enclosure, and there are hundreds of sheep in there, along with his small flock. And he has only, say, 30 sheep. How does he get them out? Well, he stands there at the door of the sheepfold and he calls. And the sheep hear his voice, know his voice, and here they come, 27, 28, 29, 30. All of his sheep are out, and here comes a straggler, number 31, and just wanders off somewhere. And does that because that's not his shepherd. He doesn't recognize his voice, and he just wanders off. Jesus says, a sheep knows the voice of his shepherd and follows him. That's why most sheep are smarter than I am. And that's why the Lord says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Now, in Psalm 23, one of the most memorized, one of the most popular passages of Scripture, there is a powerful picture of God's care. And Jesus' teaching in John 10 on himself as the good shepherd is the perfect complement to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointeth my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The most popular person, the most recognized, familiar person in Palestine in that day and today is still the shepherd. And the image of the shepherd and sheep is woven throughout Scripture. Here in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In Psalm 77, thou didst lead thy people like a flock. Psalm 29, we thy people, the flock of thy pasture, will give thanks to thee forever. Psalm 95, he is our God, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Psalm 100, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And one of the tensions for me in Psalm 23 is being compared to sheep. Now, I hope I've gotten myself fixed this morning that I don't smell like a sheep, I don't look like a sheep. Well, okay, there were those two unfortunate times in the late 1980s when my hair, and I did have hair back then, was permed. White men were getting froze, and it was permed and it was teased, and I could give any fluffy sheep a run for his money. But the Bible compares us to sheep. And sheep don't have a good track record for self-preservation. They travel in flocks, but individual sheep will just wander off by themselves. They're eating and not watching where the shepherd's going, not watching where the rest of the flock's going, and all at once they're lost. Or they just wander away. And yet the shepherd will lead them to food and water because, unlike other animals, they don't have sense to stay out of trouble. They don't have the ability to find themselves pasture once they've eaten everything that's right there in front of them. And as I consider the helpless nature of the sheep, I'm uncomfortably aware of the fact that I can be a lot like sheep. How many times have I known about God's constant care and love for me, and still I've wandered off by myself and found myself like that Russian sheep, stuck, with unable to get myself out of it. And to fully absorb the grace and goodness that God offers, let's break down Psalm 23 into the characterization of the Good Shepherd as Jesus taught us there in John chapter 10. First of all, our Good Shepherd is our provider. The Lord is my shepherd, one version says. That's all I need. Now, David, as king of Israel, was subject to no one in the kingdom. But he acknowledged that God was the sole provider of everything in his life. And while sheep may not possess the same kind of thinking prowess as humans, do you think that sheep sit up at night anxious about where their next meal will come from? Or whether they'll have enough water the next day? Or do they simply trust that when the shepherd calls them, they'll follow him and he'll provide for them? That sounds a little too easy for us as humans, doesn't it? Yet imagine what our lives would look like if we woke up believing that God's going to take care of us and God's going to provide for us if we just follow his voice. Secondly, our Good Shepherd is our peace. He lets me rest in green pastures. He leads me beside peaceful streams. All around us is chaos. Chaos is nothing new. There are times when our circumstances are unpredictable, uncontrollable, uncomfortable, and has nothing to do with anything we've said or done. But Psalm 23, verse 2 says, to consider what God is doing in our lives. David says that God lets me rest and God leads me. That means we have to submit to what God is doing. When we allow God to lead our life's journey, the end points are green meadows and peaceful streams. And when we take matters into our own hands and try to figure things out ourselves, not so much. Maybe you've read a book. It's a great one. I recommend it to you. It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. Keller was for eight years a shepherd in East Africa. And from his experience as a shepherd, he writes an incredible book about Psalm 23. And he says, sheep don't naturally lie down, don't willingly lie down, unless four conditions are met. They must be free of fear. They must not feel discord with other sheep. They must be free from pesky flies or parasites on their bodies. And they can't be hungry. Now, the first two things are self-explanatory. But what about the pesky flies or the parasites? Well, flies, Keller says, are like the constant thoughts buzzing around in our minds. And parasites are like anything inside of us draining the life from us, whether it's bitterness or unforgiveness or anger or shame or doubt. And hunger is about the unmet needs or desires. If we're wrestling with emotional relationships, financial, spiritual hunger, we're not going to find rest. And our portion isn't finding our own restful places, but to trust that God, our shepherd, our protector, will lead us to those places. And we allow the Holy Spirit to free us from the internal parasites and to chase away the flies as we surrender to Him. Thirdly, our good shepherd is our power. He renews my strength. He guides me along right places, bringing honor to His name. I'm not sure where we got the idea, but we have. Many people, Christians included, believe that God and fun are as far removed as East is from the West, and we think that God sets His directions for our lives to keep us from having a good time, when God sets His directions for our lives so we can live in His love and follow His peace. And anytime God asks us to do something, it's because He can see down the road that we can't see. He can see the path ahead of us that we can't see. And it's not to penalize us, but to protect us. And God knows that just like that Russian sheep that got free and three or four hops later is back in the ditch, we'll get into another mess if we're not willing to let Him lead us. And in contrast, Isaiah says in chapter 41, God speaking, "Fear not, I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Number four, God is our protection. Our good shepherd is our protection. The psalmist says, "Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for you're close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." Shadows find themselves in what's real. But they use the darkness to distort the reality of what is real. And David uses this image of the good shepherd leading the sheep and the sheep staying close by so that in difficult times, in a valley he calls the valley of the shadow of death, He'll be there to protect. He'll have His rod and His staff, tools that protect, that lead in right directions, that fights for them. Most importantly, David is fully aware of evil, but does not fear it because the good shepherd comes and He's conquered death. And just keep in mind, just remember that that verse says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The sheep is not staying in the valley. The shepherd is leading through. That situation is not going to be the control. That situation is not going to be the dominating one, because the shepherd will lead us through. And number five, in our good shepherd, we are constantly in God's presence. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Now think about the one who wrote Psalm 23. David, king of Israel, living in a palace. And most people would want to hang on to something like that. But David looks forward to his eternal home, his heavenly home. Not just the place, but the position in the presence of God. Now let's go back to verse 1 as we wrap up this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I need. Private enemy number one for us as believers in Jesus Christ is worry. And the word worry comes from a root word that means to choke or strangle. Worry chokes and strangles our capacity to think, to hope, to dream. It twists the joy out of life. We get dressed up like mountain climbers to climb over a molehill. Have you ever had a trouble? Have you ever had a problem that was solved or improved by worry? A.J. Crispin, who was a physician and an author of years gone by, broke down worry like this into percentages. We worry about things which never happen. He says that's 40% of the things we worry about. We worry about things in the past that can't be changed by worry at all. That's 30%. He said we worry about our health situations. 12%. We have petty miscellaneous worries, 10%. And real legitimate worries, 8%. Now, I don't want to be simplistic. I don't want to say something that I don't want you to hear. Worry is very real. But the thing about worry is that worry has absolutely no power to change anything except us. It makes us incapable of doing anything which would affect the problems that we face. And the secret is in the I Am Himself. Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. He was a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. Catch that impact. Jesus said, I will be there. When things are tough, I'll be there. Imagine each of your worries as wolves lurking about, ready to attack. Are they too much for the Good Shepherd to handle? He has all the power. We will never be alone. And this morning as we come to the Lord's table, the resurrection is a reminder of our tangible source of hope. The empty tomb is the symbol of our supreme confidence. Are you worrying about something? Is it worthy of the anguish it causes? Most crucial of all, is it beyond the control and transforming power of the Good Shepherd? Why not surrender that worry to our Lord? What do you have to lose? Nothing. What do you have to gain? Someone. the Lord Himself. Amen.